This is UN in Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. In this week's program, tourism is key to Africa's development if it's nurtured, a UN expert says, and Côte d'Ivoire forces are fully ready to take over from UN peacekeepers. But first, more than 7 million children are crossing borders in West and Central Africa in search of safety or a better life. A new report by the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, has found the vast majority of child migrants are uprooted by violence, poverty, and climate change in sub-Saharan Africa, the report underscores. However, the region lacks sufficient protection systems, both within and across borders, to ensure the safety and well-being of refugee and migrant children. Patrick Rose, UNICEF's crisis communications specialist for West and Central Africa, spoke to me on the line from Dakar. He began by sharing some of the highlights of the report.
What we found was that actually most people in the region are staying in the region, or at least staying in sub-Saharan Africa. If we look at the figures of around 12 million people leaving countries in West and Central Africa every year, more than 75% of them stay in sub-Saharan Africa. And so what we wanted to do with the report was really underline the fact that this sort of wave of migration, this sort of media emphasis on the dangers of the Libyan desert and the dangers of the Mediterranean crossing, are only telling a part of the story, that actually most people are staying here, and most children are staying here. And of course, that's creating a whole series of sort of consequences for the countries within West and Central Africa. These are countries that are absorbing year after year millions of migrants into social safety nets that are sometimes ill-equipped to deal with that number of children.
Do you know which countries are taking in the most children?
Six of the top 10 countries that are represented within those figures, the source countries are from this part of the world, from West and Central Africa. We also know that there's different sort of routes within West and Central Africa where migrants are going. So it's largely driven by economic opportunities. A lot of people are going to Côte d'Ivoire in order to sort of work in the chocolate and cocoa plantations. A lot of people are going to places like Gabon, which has a sort of economy that's offering different jobs. There's a lot of people going to places like Equatorial Guinea. There's different hubs within the region. It would be impossible to sort of say all 12 million are going in this direction. Of course, the report is an invitation into some of the complexities that the region faces, but most of all, some of the complexities that UNICEF faces as we try to sort of respond and address the needs of these children and protect
them. How old are these children that are on the move?
I personally interviewed dozens of the migrants who are on their way to Italy or have come back from Libya. And I spoke to children as young as 10 who have made the attempted journeys. They sort of, you know, stole their parents' money and tried to get on a bus and made it to Mali before their parents found out and came back. I would say that's an outlier in terms of ages of children who are trying to sort of make it to Italy, obviously. The ages are largely more sort of in the upper teens, 16, 17, 18, and all the way up until young people in their 20s who are sort of seeing this as an opportunity to break out of a series of factors that is holding them back and perhaps not giving them the opportunities they want.
Tourism in Africa can reduce poverty, but the industry needs help to resist challenges from conflict, climate change, and health emergencies, the UN said on Wednesday. In a new report from the UN trade agency UNCTAD, latest data indicates that the sector accounts for 1 in 14 jobs on the continent, with women and young adults playing a key role. The number of international tourists has also more than doubled in the last 20 years to 56 million. While Africans themselves are increasingly driving demand, as UNCTAD economist Junior Davis explains to Daniel Johnson.
Tourism in Africa is a growing sector. It's employing around 21 million people. And it's a sector that African countries can really take good advantage of and grow the economy through if they put in place the right kind of policies. In the report, we talk about how African countries can benefit more from intra-regional flows. And what we show, in fact, is that 2 out of 3 international tourists within the continent now come from other African states in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, if that potential can be tapped further, then the sector can grow. However, there are impediments to this. Critically, in the report, we talk about peace. If you do not have adequate peace and security, you will find, in general, the sector will struggle. But at the same time, we've shown examples of where tourism can also contribute to peace. For example, Southern Africa, you have cooperative peace parks across different regions within the SADC region, and that encourages cooperation, it encourages economic integration, it encourages trust and understanding amongst different cultures.
And what is the exact link between tourism and sustainable development?
We see it as playing an important role in contributing to the diversification of the economy. The sector has been very, very good at creating employment opportunities both for youths and for women. 36% of women in tourism are running their own businesses or operating within the sector. Around about 50% of 15 to 25-year-olds that enter the sector stay in the sector. So it's important for inclusivity. It allows for gender equality. It creates opportunities for decent work because women are involved in much more secure jobs with decent salaries, pensions, etc. And it allows for investment and growth and opportunities through training, which otherwise might not take place. So we see it as important in that sense. When tourism thrives, women thrive. And this is very important for sustainable development. And that is why the inclusive growth opportunities in the sector are so important for Africa in achieving the SDGs. It's very prevalent in rural areas, and it's in rural areas where you find poverty is deepest and employment opportunities are weakest. So it has also a very, very big and important role in helping to achieve SDG 1 on reducing poverty, precisely because of where much of the sector is located.
Security forces in Côte d'Ivoire are fully ready to take over when the UN completes the peacekeeping phase of its engagement with the country, the Secretary General's special representative has said. Aisha Tamim Daoudou made the remarks ahead of the closing of UNOC, the UN operation in the West African nation, on Friday. UNOC, which started in 2004 when the country was divided in half by a civil war, successfully restored peace and security in Côte d'Ivoire. Ms. Mindaoudou, who heads the UN operation in the country, explained to Cristina Silvero the steps taken to ensure the hard-won gains are not lost.
This country used to have 11,000 blue helmets. So it means that we decrease the presence of the blue helmet. And during this decrease, what happened is that Ivory Coast security forces have been put on the driving seat with regard to the security. Even I can take the example of the securing of the elections. We were on the third layer. It means that the first layer was handled by the security forces of Côte d'Ivoire, so as the second layer. So for us, the security forces are fully ready to take over.
Now, the mission was started in 2004. Can you tell us why the UN sent a mission to Côte d'Ivoire?
Yes, at that moment, you remember, it was a kind of war in Côte d'Ivoire, and the country was divided in two. So it was the reason the United Nations sent the mission there to try to reunite the country and then also to bring together all the parties so that they can look forward as the same destiny for their country. So it was a kind of bringing the two parties together. Each of the parties has its own army and then also its own administration.
To that, can you tell us what it is the UN found on the ground and what were the main challenges at that time?
Yes, at that time, as I said, two armies in the same country, a lot of combatants, and also the fighting almost were going on. And the challenges was to have the parties being sitting around the table to reach an agreement, first to dismantle the partition of the country, and then also to talk together to reach an agreement with regard to the organization of the elections at that moment, and also with regard to the organization of the power and the solution to be found for the root causes of the crisis in Côte d'Ivoire.
Those elections were the 2010 elections, which in fact led to a political crisis following the presidential elections. How did this impact the mission's mandate, and was it able to adapt? Have the root causes of the conflict been addressed and resolved at this point?
No, we cannot say that addressing the root causes of conflict in Côte d'Ivoire, so as everywhere in the world, takes time.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter under UN Radio. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.